Testing? Hear me? Okay. Okay, we're continuing our study on the miracles of Christ as recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And tonight, we're looking at the cleansing of the leper. And the text we're going to look at here is Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. And this miracle that Jesus performed in cleansing the man diseased with leprosy is also recorded in the gospel according to Matthew, in Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4, and in the gospel according to Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Okay? So we'll refer to them just a little bit. They add a couple interesting details to what happened in God's revelation and recording of these events to us. As a quick review, Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. It's important to remember that Scripture uses three words for miracles. One in the English that we have there is miracle, but it's for dynamite, that God is powerful. It shows God's power when God performs a miracle. Another is sign. It points to the one performing the miracle, points to who Jesus is as the eternal Son of God with almighty power. And it's also a wonder that deals with how we should respond to a miracle, is that we should be reading this story tonight with wonder and amazement as to what Jesus did. Okay. I'll say this, we'll do the first one first and then read the text. In each miracle, Jesus proved that he had come to deal with the curse that was the result of sin. Okay, and the leprosy will present that to us. Okay, hear now the word of God. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. And it happened when Jesus was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand, and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him, concerning Jesus, all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives this evening. Let me get my reading glasses out too here. The second point here, the cleansing of the leper, pictures for us in a clear way what Christ does when he cleanses us from our sins. Now that's something I want us to keep and the focus of our mind this evening, that the cleansing of this man with this disease of leprosy pictures for us in a clear way what Christ does when he cleanses us from our sins, from the pollution and corruption of sin. The prophet Isaiah, now this is why we're saying that, to think about this miracle that Jesus performed as a picture for us of what Christ does to us when he cleanses us from our sin, is the prophet Isaiah used the picture of a leper, this person with a disease with a leprosy, to describe the spiritual sinfulness of Israel in the Old Testament. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. And look at, for instance, look at the beginning of verse 4. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. You see what he's getting at here is their sinfulness. So when he gets to verse 6, he's saying, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it. This is a description of leprosy and the disease of leprosy and what it does to a person. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Okay, so we'll turn back to Luke chapter 5, 12 to 15. So this is something we're to be thinking about. How sinfulness spiritually we would look in God's sight apart from Christ. Just like a leper, spiritually before God, as a leper would look physically. Now this point here, when we think about it as an illustration of sin, leprosy rendered a person unclean from the sole of the foot to the head. From the sole of the foot, the very bottom of the foot to the head. All of the person, right? All of the person. We're talking about total depravity. Every part of us is corrupt from sin and depraved, just as leprosy affected all of the person. You think about the tulip there. We have it on the hallway over there, right, from the Protestant Reformation, the sin out of Dort. But total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. Or preservation of the saints, how you want to look at it. But T for total depravity. That it has affected every part, sin has affected every part of our being. Lepers, another thing about leprosy is lepers could not be around others. They were sectioned off from the rest of healthy people. They were in a sense quarantined, we would say, if you've heard that term, quarantined. They have a disease. It's very dangerous. We wanted to make sure that other people who are healthy do not get it, so they're sectioned off and quarantined. That'll play a role when we read about this miracle and we think about it. Lepers wasted away physically until they were unrecognizable and die. That's how bad it was. Totally eat away everything apart of them. Their skin and everything, and at the end, you wouldn't even notice the person. You wouldn't recognize the person. You wouldn't be able to look at me and say, oh, that's Ryan. You wouldn't even be able to recognize me. It'd be that bad. I would eat away my body. And then I would die from that disease. Old Testament ceremonial laws addressed leprosy. So when you get time during the week, you could read Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. One thing we notice from Leviticus 13 and 14 is the priests had a medical role to play in Israel. Because you'll see when you read that, that a person who thought they might have leprosy were to go to the priest and then to be analyzed, as a doctor would look and analyze the sores on your skin and seek to make a medical diagnosis. Do you have it or not? And then to follow God's prescription as to what the person, they were to be banished and quarantined and set away if the priest determined medically that the person had leprosy. There was no known cure for leprosy. No known cure. Any cure was the result of God's miraculous intervention. And we have a couple in the Old Testament. One will play a role tonight when we ponder this leper and Christ's healing of him. His cleansing of him, I should say, to be specific. But we have Miriam in the Old Testament, with in Numbers chapter 12, verses 10 to 15, with Aaron and Moses, and she ended up getting leprosy. And Moses prayed for her, and God said she would have it for 7 days. She would be banished from the rest of Israel for 7 days and would return. God healed her. Naaman, we think of Naaman, this is the one that will play a role tonight when we think about Christ's healing of this man with leprosy. This story is in 2 Kings chapter 5. He was the commander of the army of Syria, underneath the king of Syria, and he had leprosy. He was a great man of war, and during their raids, Syria had captured one of the little girls from Israel, and she said, you know, there's too bad you're not in Israel, because there's a prophet over there that could heal you. And so they ended up sending a letter to the king of Israel, and with money and that, and the king of Israel rent his clothes, say, what do they think? I'm God? I can't heal this person. And Elisha, the prophet Elisha, heard about it, and he said, send them over to me. That's where he said, I want you to go wash yourself in the Jordan River. And he said, that dirty river? Naaman was mad. He said, we have many other clean rivers to go wash in. So at first he was angry, and then he humbled himself and went and washed in the dirty Jordan River as prescribed, and he was healed of leprosy. God healed him. Okay. Everybody got that written down that wanted to? Okay. Okay, let me erase this here. Okay. When we think about this, we're going to look at three. There's really, in this recording of this man with leprosy who's cleansed by Jesus, there's three miracles that take place, really. We'll say miracle one. Miracle number one. The leper came to Jesus. The leper came to Jesus. Now we know from Mark chapter 1, verse 28, that Jesus' fame, his reputation of performing miracles, spread throughout the whole region of Galilee. Jesus was developing a very wide reputation of performing miracles. And that's recorded, Mark 1, 28, in the, which we covered on the miracles at Capernaum, where he first healed the man who was demon-possessed in the temple, and then went to Peter's house and healed Peter's mother who had a fever, and then later then the whole city, it's all the townspeople and city people with diseases and infirmities, etc., came to get healed. It was a busy day at Capernaum. Well, his reputation certainly spread. Now, we say, how did the leper come to Jesus? How did he learn of this? How did he learn of Jesus' miracle-working power? Well, you could say perhaps a relative or a friend told the leper about Jesus. We could say that. Maybe somebody, a relative or a friend of the leper, said, hey, Jesus is out here. He is healing people. He could heal you. He could cleanse you of your leprosy. And one scholar says this. He says, it's more remarkable that the leper believed that Jesus could heal him. Because in Jesus' ministry at this point, there is no record yet that Jesus cleansed a leper. The miracles that Jesus performed with the townspeople at Capernaum, recorded in Mark 1, remember, lepers were banned from the healthy population. So more than likely, when it says that they were healed of diseases and infirmities, it doesn't say what in that text. But they were banned. That's why it's probably unlikely that a leper was there at Capernaum. We don't know. It's possible. But as of yet, in the biblical record, there's no recording yet that Jesus cleansed a leper up to this point. Yet this man believes Jesus can do it. Perhaps it wasn't a relative or friend. Perhaps somebody had heard Jesus' sermon that he had preached at Nazareth, when Jesus made clear that he was appointed to heal the brokenhearted. Think of Luke 4:18, Jesus' sermon at Nazareth. To heal the brokenhearted. That's possible. Perhaps another reason is the leper heard that Jesus' sermon recorded in Luke 4. This is even more interesting to me. And I think it's even more possible. In Luke 4:27, turn over to Luke 4. Look at verse 27. This is a part of Jesus' sermon here at Nazareth. This is Jesus speaking. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. This is Jesus speaking here in his sermon. You look up at verse 18, what we just referred to, where Jesus was reading scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recover the sight to the blind, right, etc. And he continues in his sermon to refer to the healing, or I should say the cleansing of Naaman, the Syrian, who had leprosy. So it could be that someone had heard that sermon and went to this man with leprosy and said, Jesus is here, and he's been preaching about healing. He's been preaching about cleansing. He's a miracle worker. He referred to Naaman, the Syrian, in his sermon, who was cleansed. He can cleanse you. But we know this above all. John 6:44. John chapter 6, verse 44. No one, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So we know this. The leper came to Jesus. No one can come unless the Father who sent Jesus draws him. So we know that God was drawing the leper to Jesus. God was drawing the leper to come to Jesus. Through what human means is hard to say. Whether it was a friend or relative or somebody who heard the sermon, etc., or saw the miracles and then went to this leper and said, you need to go to Jesus. We note, look at chapter 5, verse 12. We note that this man's leprosy was advanced. Look at middle of verse 12 there. It said, a man who was full of leprosy. He was full of it. His leprosy was advanced. He was not looking good. He was in tough shape. And yet, he left his area of quarantine and made his way to Jesus. That was in a city, right? And it happened, look at verse 12, and it happened when Jesus was in a certain city. The man had been banished from cities, this man with leprosy. But he didn't care. And notice turn over to Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Keep your finger in Luke 5. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. So this man with full of leprosy, very advanced, went to see Jesus in a city where great multitudes were all around Jesus. The second miracle we'll look at in this is that Jesus touched the leper. Everybody got this down? Mm-hmm. Okay. So miracle number two, we'll say, this is something nobody would dare do. And certainly we would expect that the crowds, the great multitude that was there, drew back when they see this man with leprosy coming, full of leprosy, advanced. I'm sure they were very scared. There's no known cure. But Jesus did not. We know that Jesus came to save the sick. Jesus remained there as the leper knelt down. Mark 1:40. Sure, I got that reference right. Yeah, Mark 1:40. Knelt down. Luke 5:12. It says the leper fell on his face. And another detail that's added in Matthew chapter 8 verse 2, is the leper worshiped Jesus. The leper knelt down, fell on his face, and worshiped Jesus. Think of it this way. The leper hurled his complete bundle of corruption before the holy Son of God. Think about that a minute. He is full of leprosy, very advanced. The leper, in a sense, hurled his complete bundle of corruption before the Holy Son of God, where he knelt, fell on his face, and worshiped Jesus. Think of it this way, another way of saying it. The leper's extreme situation required a great Savior. Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, God's grace abounded all the more. The leper's extreme situation required a great Savior. Another thing interesting is the leper spoke not of healing, and so I've been struggling not to say that word, but cleansing. In Luke 5:12, he said at the end of the verse there, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean." Like David, cleansing was a chief concern. Think of Psalm 51:7. "Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Notice also, the leper believed Jesus' ability, but questioned his willingness. Also in Luke 5:12 there. Right at the end of the verse there, he said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Now think about this a minute with our own sinfulness. We know that we do not deserve to be cleansed of sin. We know we don't deserve it at all. And thus, we may doubt Christ's willingness to cleanse us of sin, because we know we don't deserve it. But we must remember Matthew 11:28-30. John 6:37, a couple texts where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I shall not cast out." Anyone who comes to Jesus, he will not cast out. Even though we know we don't deserve it, cleansing of sin, we may question whether he's willing, because we know we don't deserve it. We've got to accept Jesus' promises that, you know what, he's willing. He's willing. We repent of sin, put faith in Jesus. He is willing. Come to him, he is willing. No matter how sinful, where sin abounds, God's grace abounds all the more. Right, you could put it under God is gracious to whom he is gracious and is merciful to whom he is merciful. Lord, if you're willing, you dispense your grace as you please. That's right, I agree wholeheartedly with Pastor Ron on that. He's recognizing God's sovereignty and cleansing of, we don't deserve it. Means God can give it to whoever he pleases. He does not have to give it to anybody. We see that Christ touched the leper. With precious words. Luke 5:13. Look at verse 13. "And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. Erase the top part here and get to miracle number 3 here, which obviously nobody in their right mind would have touched a leper, especially one full of leprosy in advanced stages with pus and everything else out of all the open wounds. You get it all over you. But Jesus touched him with precious words. Miracle number 3. Is Jesus cleansed the leper? Jesus cleansed the leper. Christ proved his power. By cleansing the leper. And it says immediately, right? It didn't take time, did it? What does the text say? Immediately, the end of verse 13, the leprosy left him. Immediately. He was full of leprosy. I mean, we should respond with wonder and amazement there. Say, whoop! To be all basically unrecognizable, almost, to... And yet, immediately, he's healed, or cleansed, I should say.
It's like blinking in the computer. And
yeah. Now, Christ commanded the leper to show himself to the temple priest, right? Verse 14. He said, show yourself to the temple priest. Go and show yourself to the priest. Leviticus 14. Specifies what was to be done. He needed the priest to medically analyze him. Does he have leprosy anymore? We see too here with this that this is proof that Christ came to fulfill the law. Matthew 5, 17 to 20. He did not come to destroy it and take it apart piece by piece like taking apart a house. No, he came to fulfill the law. Animal sacrifices were still necessary at this time because Christ had not yet gone to the cross. Right? Yep. Which is why he says he's following what would be required under Leviticus 14. Go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering. Make an animal sacrifice, an offering for the cleansing. As testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Now, we could say this. This is interesting. The temple priests were being forewarned by the healed leper, right, cleansed. I don't know why I want to say that all the time. By the cleansed leper, that they would soon be out of a job. interesting. Now, Jesus told him to tell nobody, right? Tell no one. He's early in his ministry here. He charged him to tell no one. Verse 14. Look at verse 15. However, the report went around concerning Jesus all the more. And when you compare, tell no one, of verse 14 here of Luke chapter 5, and you compare it with Mark 1:45. Mark 1:45, it says, however, he went out, the leper went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter. The leper disobeyed. We can say this. He's a sinner saved by grace. Too often we commit the opposite sin. What is that? We're too silent. We are too silent when Christ calls us to confess him before men and tell others how Christ cleansed us from the curse of sin through his shed blood on the cross. And we're silent. Jesus said, you will confess me before men, I will confess before my Father. Right? We are to be ambassadors for Christ. In the Great Commission, we're to go out and teach others his commandments, making them disciples of him. We're to be speaking, right? Telling others about Jesus and how he cleansed us from the curse of sin with his shed blood on the cross. He tells us to speak. Share the good news. And we end up disobeying and not wanting to say a thing. We are sinners saved by grace, right? So this story, this record here of the cleansing of the leper is a reminder to us of what Christ has done for us in cleansing us from our total depravity, our complete corruption from the sole of our feet to the tops of our head, from the curse of sin, through his shed blood on the cross. And we are to go out and tell others, which is our mission. Are we in wonder at this record? We should. There was no known cure. None. Pastor Al?